A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th. The Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hi, it's me, Ben.
And it's me, Abba.
And you're listening to Nostalgia.
What a big day for both of us. We are pooping a lot.
Oh, I was talking about Prince Philip died.
I mean, both things have something in common in that
shit.
There was shit. Yeah. There was shit expelled, shit released, shit gotten rid of in the world. I love that we're starting on such a...
That's funny.
Oh, my goodness.
DMX also passed away.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
That is sad. It's very eerie that both are on the same day to me.
Yeah, and we only care about DMX. Like, the internet is showing love to DMX and just shitting on Prince Philip.
Exactly. There's like nothing but like outpour for like all of DMX's cultural contributions.
Yes.
And just like everyone is just like sharing like old cool pictures. And
yeah,
it's great. With Prince Philip, it's only that one disgusting picture of him in the car. And
yeah,
people are like, bye.
You know what it is about DMX too? Like, honestly, as somebody from the suburbs, I have no place saying this, but DMX was like a voice for the hood. Like, he never sold out. He never sold out, ever. He never compromised his image. He never compromised his... like, beginnings.
And that's true.
Yeah. I was just reading this story where, like, this girl took him, like, he stole one of his exec's cars. And then the cops pulled him over and were like, okay, this is, like, the label's car. This is not your car. We're taking it. Hitchhike home. And so DMX starts hitchhiking, sticks his thumb out, and this woman picks him up, and she's freaking out, and she doesn't drive him back to the office. She drives him back to her hood, and... Everyone just came to meet him. They took pictures, and then grandmas were cooking for him. Like, that's the kind of person he was. Like, he was a voice for the streets. He was for the people. Cool. Like, I have to stand. I have to stand. Yeah. I never really listened to his music, but, like, I knew all his singles and his hits. But it was very much this thing for me where I'd be like, that's my uncle. Like, he gave me big uncle vibes when I was younger, you know?
In many ways, ABBA, he was your uncle in that way.
Yeah.
Especially, oh my God, I love that hearing, because like so many, I just feel like so many musicians, it's like they become sellouts. It's like part of the journey. Mm-hmm. It's like you become big enough, you sell out, you're the voice for Pepsi at that point. Yes. Like, it's fine, we all come to expect it. Mm-hmm. But like DMX, like truly never ever did. And I really didn't even understand that until just now.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It's really sad. It's really sad. He's one of like the last, like, I don't know, relics of, like, the early aughts. Like, we're losing them.
There aren't a ton left.
Yeah. Well, I mean, by the time, like, we're, like, in our middle ages, I'm sure a lot of our greatest legends will have died. True. But, like...
And then who will be the relics for the new generation?
Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish.
With her sweat, with her pretty boy swag, fucking soldier boy ass clothing. Just wearing big fucking shorts for no reason.
It's so weird. She got like a documentary and she's only been famous for
she doesn't need any of that stuff. A year. She doesn't. It's you guys don't understand. I'm a huge fan of Billie Eilish. I'm a fan. I love her music. She has a great voice. Yeah, her, fun. Her very cheeky music. But shut up, Billie. Shut up, Billie.
Listen. I love your work. I love your work.
I love it. I respect
just
you.
Shut up.
Yeah. We love you really, so much when you're quiet, Billie.
It's frustrating. It's sad to see, like, someone, because it's like when how old is she? She's 19, 20.
19, 20, yeah. She's young. It's
like when you're asked to speak that much, like, if someone asked me questions on camera when I was 19, 20, like, I want to crawl out of my skin. Like, who is that? I don't know that girl.
Ben, when you ask me questions now, I'm like, oh, God. Every time I listen to this podcast over.
Oh, there. I just want listeners to know. I just want listeners to know. Mm-hmm. If I ever say something and you're like, Ben, what? Just know that I have that feeling times 100 when I listen to it back as well. Like, I'm like, Ben, what on earth are you saying? It's sometimes you really forget that this is being recorded at some point.
Like, so many times I've had to just pause and sit with my thoughts when I'm editing. Yeah.
Oh, my God. But we do respect the artists at their core.
Yes.
And even that, I'm like, Ben, not all of them. No, I mean, J-Lo has disrespected herself enough that it's like it's open game for everybody.
Yeah, that's true. She's fucked us over. I mean,
she was in like another movie recently. Yeah. Like that. I literally forget what it was called. It was probably the equivalent of like Girl Boss, like something like that, where she was like a CEO or something.
Yeah.
And it was like a comedy, and I remember thinking like,
"Is Hustlers?"
No, it wasn't Hustlers. It wasn't Hustlers. I guess it was Jessica.
That's funny.
It wasn't Hustlers. It was like it was truly like a like an Amy Schumer adjacent comedy, like that type of movie.
Oh my God! Was it What to Expect When Expecting?
Oh, I don't know.
I like
honestly
that movie
maybe
a lot. But it was also about babies. I'm big on babies, so.
Oh my God! I think I referenced this in another. But remember, Baby Mama.
Baby Mama, great movie. I watched it while babysitting 4-year-olds, and I let them watch with me.
The other one that I love. Oh, I'm literally forgetting. It's with Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston.
I hate his face so much.
This is oh my God. I let our guest truly hacking the system.
The switch.
Yes. Iconic.
Like Jason Bateman's face.
Oh, you don't like Jason Bateman? Interesting.
He was in Arrested Development, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he
perpetually
looked like 44. Like, I don't need that.
And I, like, learned recently that he was, like, an actor when he was a kid. And there's, like, footage of him, like, on late night shows as a kid. And you're literally, like, you look like you're 40 as a kid. He has a very...
You can't... I don't think it's good to be a child actor ever. The only child actor I stand is Caleb from Stranger Things and his new cowboy movie. We're all gonna watch it. We're gonna support it. We love you, Caleb. We love you. That's my son.
Is that the one with Idris Elba?
Yes, that's my son.
I
raised him.
Concrete Cowboy.
Yeah,
Concrete Cowboy.
I love them both.
He's funny. All the actors on Stranger Things I don't like or find funny except for him.
Even Finn, our Canadian prince.
Finn. No.
Who was in Pop's music video?
No.
Let me get Steve on the line. Let me get Steve on the line and tell him.
Oh, I would love to have Steve on the line.
You would love to have Steve on the line? Let me tell him that right now.
Oh my God. Truly, I would. But like, it's so sad to be a child actor because it's like, you take yourself so seriously as a child, and then you grow up and you look back and you're like, haha, like,
you're like, I can't believe I...
Exactly. But as a kid, I feel, as a child star, you do that, but then like it gets affirmed by like so many people that you just grow up being like, by adults, and then you grow up being like, oh yeah, I am a kid who has all the answers.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, Millie Bobby Brown, you don't.
Oh my God, you know who hates Millie Bobby Brown?
Oh my God.
Celeste. They hate Millie Bobby Brown.
So funny to me.
Every time they see a video of Millie Bobby Brown, they send it to me and they go, fuck off.
My favorite like niche gay Twitter joke for a while was that Millie Bobby Brown was homophobic, and it would be like pictures of Millie Bobby Brown with like then like a Snapchat bar of like text that would literally just be like, fucking hate faggots, like gonna punch one on the street, and
what
it's
is,
like all
what
this
is wrong with it?
Like truly just like vile stuff, like so bad. And there was this one video where it was like some queer person with like the audio was like a someone loading a shotgun, and it was her miming like shooting, and the caption was Millie Bobby Brown as a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race.
What is wrong with gay people where they're like, it's so funny to pretend that someone's homophobic?
Like, I don't. It's
what is wrong with our community?
Like, it's so disrespectful, but it's so funny. Like, it's like homophobia has become such like a joke now at this point, where it's like, I mean, we all know like the iconic Lizzie McGuire video of Hillary Duff being like,
that's like saying that's so gay is like saying that's so wearing a skirt as a shirt. Because the girl was wearing a skirt as a shirt.
She looks down. She's like, horrified.
Oh, and the other girl goes, so stupid. Okay, but you know what gays are really good at? Stan culture. What? Like, I'll give them that. Like, okay, so the Tinashe stans have been making memes where it's like, when I'm too on, and it's like, I can't even describe them. I can't explain them. I'm sorry I ever brought it up. I'm so excited for
No, but I know it. No, gay stans really do. It's like, they put everything into it.
Yeah.
Like, gays will show up. I mean, oh my God, I can't believe I'm referencing Sex and the City, but I'll never forget that episode where Samantha's like, she has this new client, and she's like, first, honey, you get the gays, and then you get the girls. And it's like, first, like, the gays, like... like this underwear model, and then it's like all these teenage girls like it, and like that's like the tier. And I feel like that is very true.
Gay people,
like,
are tastemakers.
Gay people are tastemakers, which is so funny to say, because at the same time, gay people have the worst taste in the world.
So it's like tacky.
Gay people either have like very like refined like fun taste, or it's like actually terrible. Like, especially cis gay men. Like,
cis gay men from Texas that have money are infiltrating the system, and they need to stop.
Oh my God. And they love like Evermore by Taylor Swift. I don't know. Or do you know, are you familiar with Andrew Christian underwear?
No, what is that?
It's like this tacky like underwear brand that is like exclusively for just like circuit party, like cis gay, like that type of thing.
Circuit party.
And it's just like very like, okay, I don't even want to say like fashion underwear. It's not practical. You know what I mean? It's flashy, it's sexual, but it's like, it's so it'll be like a mesh. It's like, oh, Abba's spraying. Is it your new Oscar is it the Oscar de la Renta?
Yes.
Oh, that looks so pretty. I literally can, I don't know what it is. Maybe this definitely isn't synesthesia, but I feel like I have synesthesia and that I can feel like I can smell that perfume even though we're on Zoom.
I feel that with some certain things.
I'm like, obviously it's floral because there are flowers on it, but I'm like, it smells floral to me.
Exactly, and you're right. And you know who else is right?
You know who else is right?
It's not a good one.
No, I love it. I love it. Our guest is right.
They're very fucking right. And I truly do stan. Honestly, met them early in the early comedy days.
Yes.
When I was still doing, oh, my roommate just texted me saying she's getting her second dose. That's amazing.
Oh my God.
Jade, our guest brings good luck.
Jade.
Our guest brings good luck. I met them at the Beaver.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
So this lovely person whose credits include JFL 42, we both did Las Culturistas together, TEDx Youth Conference, Virtual Proud and Funny Festival, and many other things. Take it away, Ben.
Oh my God, truly our guest has done a million things. Stand-up comedian, they're big on OnlyFans.
Beautiful butt.
We'll give you their handle on OnlyFans. Also, an event host, Sapphic Sundays, which is on Gladdays. We're nodding? We're not? Okay.
Yeah.
And social media, Friendly Black Hottie on IG and TikTok.
Yes, and Hot Jade 86 on Twitter. Please give it up for the lovely.
Welcome.
Jade Niles.
Niles.
Correct. Hey, honey.
LG.
Hey,
Bill. Oh my God. Hi.
Hey. How are you,
we're
darling?
So excited to have you.
I'm fantastic.
It's good. How's your day been going?
It's been okay. Mm. Yeah, I'm on like day 7 of a migraine.
No.
But I'm also just vibing.
Oh, it's good. Vibe. We love a vibe. Catching a vibe. We stand. We have to stand.
Yeah. I'm like, can I talk about microdosing? I don't
yes,
know.
Yes! Oh, you
talk
want.
About whatever yeah. you okay. want, yeah.
Truly.
Yeah, so I'm on shrooms all the time.
Oh! Like, how's that been feeling for you?
Yes.
It's like the best medication for migraines and depression and it, like boredom and anxiety. Yes. And yeah, it's the best. Oh,
what nice. Is like a microdose? Like, is it... Because I, for some reason, I'm picturing a shrooms chocolate. And
me
I'm picturing
too.
You taking a little nibble out of a bar. Am I right?
No.
What does microdosing look like?
Yeah.
It's, okay, so I have a kitchen scale that doesn't even, like, pick up the amount that I'm taking. Like, I tried to measure out, like, half of a gram, and it won't even show
up. Okay.
So I just kind of eyeball it, and I've just been messing around with, like, different parts of the shroom. Mm-hmm. I wonder if, oh, I can show you.
Ooh,
nice.
Love this.
Oh.
Yeah, I've taken all the stems. The stems don't really do anything, mm-hmm. so I've taken, like, the caps. And I'll just take, like, one or two small caps.
Okay.
And put them in lemon juice, and then...
Nice! And wow. That's good. It affects your mood. Yeah.
That is so cool. I feel like that, I mean, more and more, because, like, you know it's real when your Caucasian father approaches you and he's like, I've been reading about microdosing. I'm like... Okay, so it's officially made the great transfer.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like it's becoming more of, like, it's regarded more as, like, not just, like, I'm tripping out on shrooms, but, like, a viable, like, medication.
Yeah, it's, like, I'm not raw-dogging life anymore. Like, I'm really tired of people being, like, I used to be someone who's, like, oh, I can never wake and bake. Like, it makes you so lazy, da-da-da. And in some cases, it definitely does.
Totally.
But I think that, like... There are so many benefits to certain drugs and, like, using drugs to benefit you being productive for yourself. And, like, I'm very much done with the idea of raw-dogging life. It's not worth it anymore.
It's not. Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, unless, like, you're straight edge and it's kind of, like...
Yeah, then that's your
choice.
That's
something.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But, like, when people are like, oh, well, no, I want to be sharp for the world. It's like, why?
I'm like, no.
It's like, what? Do you think the world's going to reward you for being...
No,
for not being a little bit high and smiling at the sun?
I want to feel good for the world. And it won't make me sharp, but it'll make me happy.
I don't want to feel good for the world. Yeah. I want to feel good for me.
Exactly. Yes, exactly that. Exactly
absolutely.
That.
And especially, like, I don't know. I feel like this sounds so, like, hippie or whatever, but it's when it comes from the earth, it feels kind of like there is, like, this natural gift that the earth is kind of being like, hey, if you're feeling kind of down or, like, you want to, like,
have some
colors to sing, like, have some of me.
Suck on my finger. Yeah. That's what
suck on my finger.
Suck on my finger.
You really are that, because I haven't done shrooms in years, but I was the type of person who, like, when I did them, I wasn't microdosing. It was to, like, trip the fuck out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're with friends and you're, like, making a day of it, that sort of thing. And the last couple times I did it, it wasn't a bad trip, but I was feeling, like, maybe anxious or, like, part of me was like, I want this to be over now or, like, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, microdosing does just sound like you get the kind of, like, nice... chill feeling, but without, like, the commitment of, like, feeling like you can't, like, interact with the real world for, like, 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I did them before being on the podcast. I love that. Sorry, there's like squirrels chasing each other.
I love
it. Okay. It's so cute. That's so adorable.
It's cute, but
I want listeners to know, like, Jade is in like a gorgeous, gorgeous, like, well-lit room. And yeah. There's like floor, like botanical posters on the wall, like there's wildlife, sunlight,
gorgeous room.
Like, you're living,
they're living in, their best life.
Yeah, you were living your best life right now. Yeah, it's very nice.
I really stand. Can you, and I'm excited to talk about who we're going to talk about today. There are so many thoughts and things I have to say about them, and I'm just so excited for you to talk about them. So, yeah, introduce our special artist. Yes,
bring it up.
Okay, today we're going to talk about the iconic Amy, middle name Jade, Winehouse.
Yes! Oh my God, your namesake. Name, I love this.
Amy Winehouse. This is a long time coming.
Yes, I'm shocked no one has even like mentioned or like asked us like, hey, are you ever gonna have Amy Winehouse as a topic? Because she truly is. She changed a lot of the music industry. Like, we wouldn't have Adele if we didn't have Amy Winehouse. You know,
we would not.
Yeah,
she like. Her star burned so bright.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there was, like, 2 years where it was, like, all of, it was, everything was Amy.
Yes. Like, oh, even, I feel like Amy. For a solid five. Definitely,
yes.
Like, I'm even looking now at Frank. Frank was her first album, I believe. That came out in 2003. Well into, like, high school. Well into my first year of university, I was just always listening to Amy Winehouse. Which begs the question, when did you start listening to Amy Winehouse?
Yes.
I actually have a pretty vivid memory of the first time I ever heard Amy Winehouse. And I was in a newer apartment that my mom and I had moved into. Mm-hmm. And we got cable with the rental package in this building.
Huge.
And we had those, we had satellite TV, and we had those, like, I don't know what they were called. It was like the movie... Or not the movie, the music channels.
Yes.
Where it was just like a blue background.
Like the radio.
And there were different genres.
Yeah.
And I think I was listening to the pop one.
Mm-hmm.
And Rehab, I think, started playing. And I was like, why is this like old bluesy song on the recent... Like, there's no way this is a new song.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so sure that it was... a black woman.
Yeah.
And I was like picturing like a big black woman.
Yes.
And when I saw a picture of like skinny mini Amy Winehouse white, I was like,
it was insane.
This isn't possible.
And I'm happy you bring that up because like even when I saw her, I was like, oh no, she's one of those black people who's extremely light because I have an aunt who isn't white passing because her facial features and just her body in general, it's like, oh, that's a black person. But her skin is so light that like it can be taken for white. And I thought the same thing with Amy Winehouse. And I think it's so funny because like one time in university in one of my women and gender studies classes, my prof was like, she was like, you know, cultural appropriators are everywhere. For example, Amy Winehouse, she's a white woman, but her entire backing vocalists and band, they're black and they have to be black in order to, like justify her presence on stage. Like she has this black cosign. And everyone was like, no, that's not true. But then I was like, she's amazing at her job and she's given us so many songs, but it kinda is true. But
That's conflicting.
I let it slide. Yeah. I let it slide because her music is so fucking good. It's like, I don't wanna fight. I just wanna vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh God.
Yeah. Part of me is like, I mean, she has a presence, she has a platform, and she can hire people. And if she's making sure that she's hiring people of color, I'm kind of down with that, especially because she's doing like jazz and like bluesy music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely is a double-edged sword. Like, I'm like, if she was up there with like a group of white people, I'd be like, now what the hell?
Yeah.
Either way, it's like, it's a situation where you can't sing. She was just cursed with a black woman's voice, I guess. Mm. But when I first heard Amy Winehouse, I'm pretty sure like my dad was playing her. And I thought that she was an older singer. And then I saw the music video for, I'm pretty sure it was Valerie. And I was like, that is a whole ass white woman. Did I see the music video? Maybe, I don't know. But either way, I saw her singing and I was like, this is insane. But no one has made music as soulful and agonizing as she has for a long time, I feel like.
Yeah.
Literally, like, yeah. Oh my God, Ira, especially as a kid when Rehab came out, like already, like that song, just like there's like, it's scandalous, like Rehab. And it's like the vulnerability and her being like, this is like, this is my struggle. This is what I'm going through. It really, it felt like, oh my God, like musicians are allowed to do that. Yes. Like it was void of innuendo. Yes. Like she was literally just, and it's not, and not in like a way that's like, was gratuitous. It was like beautiful and everything. But it was just like, it was shocking as a kid to hear like, especially I think for a woman to be talking about addiction in that way in a pop song. Like
it felt desperation.
In desperation.
And being the other woman and being happy to be the other woman as long as it means being loved. Like that's, she, you got to, we got to see her like be undone. That doesn't really happen anymore. And even when it does, it's curated and made into like a visual album by Beyonce. and we stan, but
I don't know. Yeah, of course.
Amy Winehouse would be making visual albums if she was still around.
You think so?
You think?
I think so.
What would you? Yeah. Sorry, we normally add, like that comes a little bit later. Abba likes to ask that question, but you brought it up. Like, what would you think a visual album of hers would look like? Do you think?
I think it would be like directed by like it would look like it's directed by like Baz Luhrmann or something. Like it would be very.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like grandiose and campy.
Yes, and very campy.
Visually stimulating. Yeah. And there would be so many looks, but it wouldn't be a focus.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, like I think they would be understated, but it would just be like a casual, like a scene of Amy like grocery shopping, but you're like, this is a whole fit.
Yes.
Like, this is too much. Like no one is wearing, no one is trying this hard to like buy apples.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, I remember the first time I saw her face close up. I was like, that is a lot of eyeliner. Like,
oh my God.
Like, she doesn't do anything small. Everything is big. I never realized her beehive was that big.
Okay. I mean, here's the thing about Amy, like, as, especially just like as a gay, like little kid, just seeing, I feel like there's something about that the exaggerated eyeliner that also just felt like it wasn't like a perfect, like, it was never like this, like, kind of like perfect symmetry going on. It felt very like, I don't know, kind of Helena Bonham Carter in, oh my God, in Fight Club. Why am I referencing, what, who is this person referencing Fight Club?
As a gay little kid, I would like to talk about Fight Club.
I would like to talk about Fight Club. Just, but you know what I mean? That kind of just like rock and roll, like punk, like kind of blah, like I'm just smearing the song.
I'm doing my makeup myself.
I'm doing my makeup.
I'm doing it myself today.
Whenever I jump into that, what I think is doing kind of like, I don't know, a more grungy British accent. I feel like I just sound like Shrek.
Donkey.
It was just, there was something so, especially being used to seeing pop stars be a bit more manicured and how like the look is a bit more purposeful.
Yes.
To see like, and not even it looked deliberately disheveled, just like how that is authentically, that's just Amy.
Yes.
And like, I don't know. There was something about that I was like, this feels right to me.
Yeah.
Like, this feels like something I'm into. And it wasn't like a thing of like, oh, Amy's doing like anti-glamour. It's like, no, she's just doing like Amy's glamour.
She's doing like maximalism.
Yes. Oh my God.
Because it wasn't like she'd just wear like a beautiful slip dress and just be like, you know, hair down. It was like huge beehive, so many accessories in it, fucking teased to shit. Like, that hair is useless now. It's falling out. Like, short dress, but five belts.
Chunky belts.
Eight bracelets. Huge platform shoes. Like, she's, like, huge going, shoes. You know, oh all God. The way. I really do miss that I don't give a fuckness of her.
Yeah.
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 It was never very contrived. London. She genuinely, I feel like after she got done getting ready, she was like, I look good. Like, you know? It wasn't contrived. Yeah.
Totally. Oh my God. But Jade, with your, oh sorry, Abba.
No, you go, Ben.
With your Amy Winehouse journey, like, what was the first, like, were you, because I definitely was, Back to Black was the first, like, album I was, like, aware of, but, like, what was your album that you, like, really sunk your teeth into, and you're like, this is my Amy?
It was Back to Black, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was more popular at the time, and I think my mom bought Back to Black and Frank.
Yes.
And Frank, not Anne Frank.
Not Anne Frank, no. Not her.
My mom bought Anne Frank. No. And Frank as an album is really personal. Like, all of her music is very personal.
Yes.
But there's one song that I kind of, like, listen to with a bit of a guilty conscience now from Frank, which is Stronger Than Me.
What?
Do you know the song?
I don't think so. I've heard it, but I don't know it well.
It hasn't aged well. Because it's a song about being in a relationship with a man who is essentially emotionally vulnerable.
Yeah.
And who cries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And who, like, needs support. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But in the song, she's just roasting him.
You always want to talk it through. I don't care. I always have to comfort you when I'm there. But that's what I need you to do. Stroke my hair. Because I've forgotten all of young love's joy. Feel like a lady and you my lady boy.
Ooh,
oh, ladyboy.
Okay. There's fully a line in the song that says, "Are you gay?"
Are you
gay? Like, it has not aged.
No.
That's one thing about Amy. This is why she's still a fave for my. Oh my god, the dog is barfing. Sorry. That's why she's still one of my faves, because we have to address the controversy. It's like when people are so incredibly talented, but there's so much controversy behind them, I'm like, sorry, the dog is really getting stuck. Stop it. Sit on the bed.
But this is kind of also accurate.
Yeah. But what was I saying? Yeah, like, there's this video of her very much strung out of her mind. And she's saying the N-word. And she's using, you know, an Asian slur and all this stuff. And I'm like, she's one of those people who, like, was so troubled that she really wanted to hurt people outside of herself. Like, being problematic was fun for her. Like, she thought being an edgelord was cool, but also that was such a big part of the culture at that time. Like, being an edgelord was, like,
totally,
you know, it was a part of your brand.
Yeah.
I kind of wish she existed now, because her PR would not let that slide.
Her PR wouldn't.
No, not at all. Yeah.
I feel like she would be, like, kind of like a Sarah Silverman type.
Oh,
Sarah Silverman.
Like, she would be like, yeah, I'm a feminist and I'm going to say really inappropriate things and you're just going to do blackface. Oh, true. Yeah. That was just like, not that there's a joke good enough that it warrants or, like, makes blackface okay.
Yeah.
But that was such a stupid joke.
It was such a stupid joke. It was like, Sarah, it wasn't even worth it, girl. Yeah. And now it's a hill that she dies on. Like,
does she still defend that?
You know what? If people bring it up, she's probably like, yeah, that was a bad time for me. But, like, there are so many videos of her being like, I don't care. And, like, who cares about it? And I'm like, bitch, I care. I'm black.
Yeah. I mean, she's probably been asked about it to death.
Yeah.
Do you know about her joke where she originally wrote it using the N-word and then she changed it?
Oh, no.
No.
What is this joke?
I kind of love this joke.
Okay.
I don't love it, because no matter what word she replaces with the one that she ended up using, it kind of, like, it hurts somebody.
Yes.
But it's a joke about trying to get out of jury duty.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, well, I wanted to get out of jury duty and they want to make sure that you don't have any racial biases, but you can't write something like, oh, I hate blank.
Yeah.
Which originally she was going to say the N-word.
But
so instead she was like, oh, so instead I wrote, I love blank, and then still uses the slur. But I think she ended up using the slur against Asian folks.
That was such a time in comedy where people were like, no, if I'm technically not punching down if I'm saying something that's validating to the community while still using the slur. Like, Louis C.K. would always use the N-word and be like, can you believe people are saying nigger? And it's like, you just said it. You said it, Louis. Like, you know?
Yeah. And he like, justified it by being like, if I don't say it, then you think it, so I might as well say it. And
no. It's
like,
That's stupidity gymnastics. Shut up.
Yeah.
I feel like comedians like that are very good at, like, walking the line and, like, towing it and being like, oh, here I am. Like,
yeah, you can't
you
get
can't
me.
Cancel me. Can't
Don't
get me. And it's like, no, you even just, like, making us aware that, like, you're alluding to something racist, like, that's still racist. And, like,
that's
you getting
the racist,
lost from it
exactly.
is still racist. So it's enough. I hate comedians.
Yeah,
I really do. They're, like, truly maximum, like, outside of, like, the comedians I'm friends with. Like, let's say comedians who, like, have, like, TV shows or specials or whatever, there are maybe like maximum 8 that I like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's literally
like a MySpace top 5.
Like a MySpace top 5.
It's very much just Wanda Sykes and like John Early. Like those
basically.
Are the
two. Yeah. It's truly just like John Early. Naomi Ekperigin.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Julio Torres.
Yes.
Kate Berlant.
Bowen Yang. Yes.
Bowen Yang.
It, but it's very much this thing where like I have just been rewatching Wanda Sykes's like stand up, and she was so ahead of her time. There are some things that I'm like, Wanda, so but funny. A lot of her shit is like, oh, bitch, this is shit that we're marinating on now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like she was very anti housewife, not in a way that was like, I think it's weak, but she was like, this is actual labor. And I'm not going to do it for someone who doesn't deserve it or doesn't pay me for it. Like, and she was also very gay, but never said it, which I really stand.
Yeah. Which is why I love her most recent special from a few years ago.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I need to see it.
Yeah. Oh, you have. Oh, it's, I mean, she's talking about Trump getting elected.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. And how bizarre it is. But she also just like makes fun of her like cute little French wife.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's very sweet.
I know one of her jokes about like hearing, like, she's like, I don't speak French, but like when I'm around my wife's family and I hear the word noir, I'm like,
like, I know. Listener, Ben widened his eyes.
I was very much the eyes emoji darting back and forth.
I remember being a barista at Balzac's in the distillery district.
Oh, wow.
And there were a lot of tourists there. Yeah. And someone ordered a coffee in Spanish and said Café Negro. And I was like,
you're like, what?
Excuse. It's all...
And then it was like, this person didn't say coffee, nigger.
You had to tell your mind that they didn't
for
say that.
For a second, I was like, did this person just say like, coffee, comma, and then address me.
Yeah.
That is like, that is, they said black coffee. They said black coffee. Relax, relax, relax.
That is but so still. Funny. That's like when I was in first year and I was in a study room and there were these two Korean students sitting next to me and they kept saying, niga. And it's like a thing that means you, I think, in Korean.
It means you or it means I think.
You or I in Korean. And I was like, what? And like
right next to
you. And I was like I widened my eyes. I was the only one there and I was like, should I say something? Should I say something?
That you two should write a sketch based on those experiences, because that is really fun. Oh my god.
And then later on, like, my Korean friend was like, no, that means like, and then they explained it to me and I was like, oh.
Yeah, there's a K-pop song where they put the word nega in a spot in the song where, like, you know, this sounds like you're saying nigga. Like, it's like, da 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 nigga. It's like, you know what this sounds like.
Absolutely.
I see you. Like,
nah, that's so,
the song slaps.
That's so wrong that it's funny.
Yeah, that's, I think that's the thing, is that with comedy too, like, if I'm like, this joke is so aware of itself that, like, you kind of have to be not smart to think that it's just that it's just an offensive joke. Like, Anthony Jeselnik, like, has a joke that I also love where he says, there's nothing I hate more than a racist. How can you hate an entire group of people just because they all behave the same way? And it's like, it's kind of like a self-aware joke where it's like, you know that he's not like, he's like, I hate racism, but then he says straight up that he believes in racism. Like, you know that he's not racist.
Yeah. Like, it's it's jokes like that are very, it's like, I feel like people try to create a joke like that. We're like, oh, I want to create like a joke.
Edgy.
They want to say something edgy, but they want to say something like without being problematic. And I feel like it's, there's, I just wish I could tell so many comedians, like, listen, nobody actually needs you to make jokes about this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's actually, like, clamoring to be like, I wonder what Louis C.K., I mean, he's, like, irrelevant at this point, but, like, what Louis has to say about, like, the election. You know what I mean? Like, nobody
people
needs.
People love edgelordism. Like,
edgelordism.
Like, I'm like, that's not the same as being good.
The only only edgelord I like is when it's like queer people or like BIPOC comedians who are like, who are being edgy towards their own community. Like, that is fun.
Like, they're
that
being racist to black.
No. Like, when it's, like, queer people being, like, us being, like, gay people are tacky.
Oh, yeah. It's, like, you know we know. I mean? If you know, you know.
It's, like, we know. Yeah. So we're allowed to say that gay people are tacky. But, like, it's, like, if you're outside of that community, you're kind of just, like, basing this around of, like, assumptions or, like. But that is why I think Anthony Jeselnik's joke is funny, because he's literally being, like. I feel like it's a criticism on, like, people will think that they get it or think that they're woke or outside of racism when speaking about racism, they're being just as racist. Anthony? Oh my, why do I keep saying Anthony? Okay, this is something that I, like, shudder to even say, but I think he's gay.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah. I think he's gay.
Huh. You can say anyone's gay, and I'm like,
I know when you retweeted that tweet that was like, if someone's gay, or I forget what, I'm butchering the tweet, but it was like,
this person,
a character is queer coded if queer-coded. Like I think they're gay. But Anthony, I really do think he's gay.
But to bring things back to Amy Winehouse, I think some of her appeal was that she was very like yellow wallpaper in her, like, what's the word? In her sadness. Like, what's a smarter word for sadness? Like, in her melancholy.
Oh, my God.
She was a woman unraveling. Yeah. And it's like, she couldn't tear down things around her. She tore it down herself. And, like, so much of that was, like, used to market her. And for a second, it worked. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, you actually saw her, like, performing on stage, like, drunk out of her mind and getting even more drunk on stage. And we're so past that in the music industry, where people are, like, usually drinking, like, water or, like, kombucha. You know, like, there's just, like, a wellness around being a singer now in these days. And I think she was at that tail end of, like, the industry where it was like, no, be fucked up. And, you know, women unraveling are cool. But I, it makes me mad that when I think about her live performances, the only one I think about is the one that was really popular. They played it on TV all the time, and she was drunk out of her mind and kept telling them to stop the music and restart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It really is shitty how, like, and especially, like, even just, like, fans of hers, it's, like, it's almost, like, what people, like, wanted from Amy after a certain point. It's, like, obviously the British tabloids, like, as we know, are, like, terrible, toxic. And I just remember, like, as a kid seeing, like, so many, like, grainy, like, Zoom and paparazzi footage of her, like, at, like, a liquor store, like, drinking, or, like, her, like, popping pills on the street. And it just, like, and I'm not, like, patting myself on the back for being, like, this is wrong. It's, like, that's just, like, a normal human response. But, like, I remember as a kid being, like, wait, no.
Yeah. Like, and it's, like, this can't be doing that. This thing where we, like, the vulnerability, like, hearing about her being, like, you know, like, her, she kind of has these songs where she's like, no, I deserve better, or being like, no, I fucked up, you know? And there's something about being able to relate to it, being like, oh my God, I feel exactly like this. No, I did let that idiot back in. But it's like the cost of us having that validation through songs was her mental health, like, consistently deteriorating.
Yeah. Have you seen the Amy Winehouse documentary?
I can't watch it.
I haven't seen. I'm real. Documentaries about sad stuff make me, dare I say, sad.
Yeah.
Like, this is as close as I got to watching it, is in Lady Gaga's documentary when they, like, talk about Amy for a second. And, like, there's a part where, like, Lady Gaga's smoking a blunt, and I think she finished, she was, like, on the set for American Horror Story or something, and she's, like, smoking a blunt, and she's talking about, like, the stress or just, like, whatever, like, I don't know, the toll it takes to be, like, a big pop star. And just then, like, there's a moment where she's like, and you know, like, what happened to, like, of course. And I think it was, like, she, like, didn't say Amy's name, but she just, like, gave a look to her friend. And her friend was like, I know. And it was, like, it was so sad because it's, like, Amy was so, so young, like, when she left us. And, like, I literally, it's, like, when you're a teenager and this is happening, and this is a big arc of the pod, is, like, you're, like, oh, these are, like, adults, and this is happening to, like, some faraway, like, adult world. And then you get to be, like, the age group of these artists, and you're, like, oh, my God, the amount, like, when I was in university and had, like, two papers due in 1 week, like, I was a mess. Like, of course, like, you know, you're dealing with, you're already struggling with mental health and substance abuse and alcoholism and, like, then you have to, you know, be touring the world and writing music, and so many people are demanding things of you. It's like, it's so sad. It's sad to see. Yeah.
And it wasn't just the public and the fans. It was her dad. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what you find out in the documentary, that like her dad like worked her to the bone. And she genuinely tried to get sober. And I think she's just one of those people that just kind of had no interest.
Yeah.
Do you know the footage of her winning a Grammy and she's like at a concert and you can see in her face when they announce the winner, like her reaction?
Is this the Grammys where she wasn't allowed into America? So they like filmed her accepting her Grammys like in the UK? Like,
I think so.
I vaguely remember this. Yes, yes. What?
Yeah, and she's got this like genuinely like flabbergasted, just she's struck with joy and awe, and her friend goes up to her. And apparently what happened, you find this out in the documentary, is that she pulled her friend aside and said, "This is so boring without drugs." Like, she genuinely could not be sober.
That is like, and I'm literally getting tears in my eyes. That is just like, it's like, that's heartbreaking. That is, oh my God. Like, and to have your own father not be on your side in that way, and just seeing dollar signs in your own child is like, I mean, a narrative we're well used to at this point with young stars.
But what was that whole situation? I'm actually not like well versed in that.
Yeah, like, was your dad always like this?
Yeah.
So
Tupac, come
to
here.
To my knowledge, as Amy started to get famous, her dad was her manager.
Okay.
I could be wrong. But her dad was her manager, and when her friends and other loved ones, and I believe like doctors and therapists, were telling her to go to rehab, one of her biggest reasons to not go was, "My dad says I don't have to."
Oh my God. And
like, he was like, "No, you don't have to go. You're fine.
So
you're
that's
fine.
The line.
Like, keep making music. Keep working." Yeah. The line in the chorus, "My daddy says I'm fine."
Yeah.
Oh my
It was
God.
Literally like,
"I don't have the time. My daddy says I'm like, fine." Oh my God.
Yeah. And he's the one who's like pushing my career forward. And so him and her like shitty boyfriend were basically behind all of, they were like what she was escaping and why she was constantly high and intoxicated.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Amy deserved so much better than that. Especially like, oh my God. I mean, I would never. I would just like, your parent as a manager. I mean,
no, always bad news. But it's like, always when you're a kid, like not a kid, but when you're like, that's your parent, regardless of that age. Like, it's so easy for them to like manipulate you.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you're starting, when like, I guess it's like a dizzying experience to start to get all this attention. Mm-hmm. And like, it probably sounds like so comforting. It's like, oh, well, like my parent as my manager, like, oh, this feels safe. Maybe I'll get a modicum of home during this crazy time. But it's like such the opposite effect. It does like make me think, like, I wonder, like, it's like, what would her career, would she still be around if like she was able to like,
well,
get like emancipated from this horribleness.
Classic example of being a woman in the industry too. It's like, if your parents aren't controlling you, then it's your boyfriend controlling you, then it's your producer boyfriend who's controlling you, then it's just your producer who's controlling you, like your manager. Like, there is so much abuse. It's so pervasive, it's hard to escape. You have to be like a real cunt in order to make it in the industry. And I think that she at the end of the day had like a very soft heart.
I think that if you really look at the way that she talks about men in her music, I think she was putting on such a front of not needing them, and for their only real purpose to be was like sexual pleasure. What's the song? Oh, there's a song, "In My Bed," off the album Frank, and there's the whole song is about a friend with benefits who keeps thinking that they're in a relationship. And she has a line where she says, "The only time I would hold your hand was to get the angle right." Like, she was so good at just, like, roasting these dudes.
She's so witty.
Listen, your purpose is that I nut, and that's it. Yeah. Like, you have no other value.
Yeah.
But I think in her life, she didn't believe that. Mm-hmm. And she, like, didn't get to.
Yeah. Yeah. And and she, there, you know, in songs like the, My Tears Dry on Their Own, like, she's like, yes. I should just, what's the line she says? I should just be my own best friend and not fuck myself in the head with stupid men. It sounds like she just had a lot of men in her life, too, who gave her validation. And maybe she was the kind of person who found validation through proximity to men. And, like, a lot of women do. Like, I think, like, I was definitely that way in high school. But it's this thing where, like, she was probably also in proximity to so many people who gave her, like, opportunities in the industry. How could she not consistently go back to those people and that, like, culture? Mm-hmm. It's, like, impossible to get out of. You have to completely, like, cut ties.
Yeah.
I don't want to just talk about all the sadness of Amy. Because, like, okay, she made one of the most joyful songs. And she didn't write it originally. I think it's a cover, Valerie.
Oh, my God.
As soon as I hear that.
No, I think Valerie is Mark Ronson.
Yeah.
Wrote it for her.
Yeah. Like, as soon as I hear the sorry, Charlie Murphy, I'm having too much fun. I'm like, dun, 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 dun. It's so freaking good. Oh, it's that such a song good song.
It's so joyful. Yeah. And, like, oh, my God. It really, like, there's so, this is so random to bring up, but when Naya Rivera, and Jade, I think you're a Glee. Are you Glee as well? Are you a Glee fan?
I used to be.
But Naya Rivera singing that on Glee.
Yes.
That was an iconic Glee cover. But I, like, that song, like, truly, and, like, it's fitting because it's spring now. That song, like, is spring to me. That song is, like, feeling, like, emancipated from my worries. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, a girl about town. Like, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I'm, like, it's, like, so much of Amy's music kind of has, like, a sadness undercurrent to it. Like, a melancholic kind of vibe. Or unraveling. But Valerie really does just feel like just like pure like Amy, like joyful. Like even like the album artwork like for that is like it's like white background, like she's wearing a blue dress. Like it feels very like
happy. Can I also just you go ahead, Jaden, then I'll
I was just gonna say, Ben, do you remember when we did that song? Not we, like you and I, but when Rosedale Band did that song?
Oh, my God, Jade. First of all, listeners need to, and I'm actually embarrassed that we haven't, but Jade and I went to high school together.
Yes!
First of all!
You mentioned last podcast.
Yes, we did. You were in, and I just have to say this to you, Jade, because you were a couple years ahead of me, and you were in musical theater, and do you want to know a memory I have of you that probably you don't even remember? So
yes,
this was after I was in grade 9 or maybe grade 10, and the musical was Thoroughly Modern Millie, amazing show, horribly racist musical besides the point, but it was great show, everyone was great, and I remember just like, especially, you know, like you're younger and you see like the big kids doing a musical and like it's elaborate and like great, there's tap dancing. I was truly like, this is it. Like, I've made it to Broadway, essentially. And I was at the corner of Castle Frank, like, or just, like, waiting to cross to go to Castle Frank Station. And you were standing with, like, two other musical theater friends. And you were in chorus, and you were, like, you were in so many numbers, I remember, in Modern Millie. Like, and Sino Parts, and, like...
I can get into that in a second.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. And I really... My favorite part about musicals, it's true, like, I could care less about, like, the solos or the acting. It's all about the group numbers. It's all about the chorus. It's, like, you find your favorites. You find, like, the people who are featured, and you're, like, they are the background of the show. Mm-hmm. But you were standing with two other musical theater people, and I remember, like, eavesdropping, and just, like... I was transported to Broadway in that moment because you were talking about, like, all the costume changes. You're like, well, so-and-so is complaining about having one costume change. Like, well, bitch, I have four. And I remember being like, oh, the glamour. Like, I remember being like,
the glamour.
I was like,
the quarrel.
And you had, like, a big bag, and there were, like, sequins coming out of the bag. And I remember being like, oh, my God, what I would do to be, like, in that circle. And then, like, I feel like we maybe, like, saw each other at parties or something. We were aware of each other. But then, like, the last time, we fully, like, became, like, acquainted as peers, it seemed, was outside of the last Culturista show, JFL 24. JFL 24. JFL 42.
Do you know the JFL 24 story?
Oh, my God. But tell Jade the Jade of all
24. It's honestly, Jade, it's not funny to anyone unless you were there. But Ben was being Ben, like, so big, big, big. I mean, we're talking yeah. about JFL. And Ben goes, oh, honey, JFL 42. I'm 24, JFL 24. Stop it. Like, he edited his own joke. Stop it.
Oh, my God. I'm actually, like...
Oh, my God, I'm 24, JFL 24. It was this cocaine moment.
It really
yeah,
was.
Yeah,
it truly was. Well, I mean, iced coffee is practically cocaine. Yes, it's
cocaine.
Real.
That is cocaine.
Yeah. Oh, my God, but that... yes, but that is all to say that I always... Like, you were one of the people at Rosedale who, like, you have, like, the older people on stage that you see, and, like, you were always, like, a standout to me.
Love that.
I was the older person at Rosedale.
I mean, like, you were, like, when... I mean, when you're in grade 9 and you see, like, a grade 12, you're like, yes. that
you're is... like, that person's an yeah. adult.
Like, that's an adult. Yeah. They pay taxes. Like, truly.
Can I mention a phenomenon?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I want to tell a quick story about Millie.
Okay, go.
For a second. Okay. But,
oh, yes.
Because that moment makes me so happy. Mm-hmm. Because what happened that year... is that I auditioned for Muzzy, I think, and I got a callback, and I remember I was really good friends with Clea. I don't know if you remember Clea.
Clea, of course.
Clea and I used to joke that we were like twins because our moms looked alike, our dads looked alike, and they both had really weird like things in common.
That's really weird.
But anyway, Clea was is a soprano, and... didn't want that role. Like, there was a lot of songs that went too low. Okay. And we ended up like rehearsing together because we both got a callback. And then I didn't get Muzzy because Mr. Blakey hates me.
Well, no! Mr. Blakey, what?
What kind of fucking name is Mr. Blakey anyway?
I mean, exactly. Smoking cigarettes out in the parking lot, acting like I can't see from my enriched French classroom. I can see.
Grow up.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue, Jane.
No, that's okay. Anyway, that year I just decided to throw myself into being in the background. And so when you were like, oh my God, you were in so many scenes, that means so much that was noticeable because every time they were like, we need someone to do this, I was like,
aww.
And I jumped on it. Yes. And I did legitimately have like, I think I had four different costumes and I had six different costume changes.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And that is like... You did stand out, like you really did, and it just like I will never forget. I feel, and I might be getting the outfits wrong, but I remember you were in a number where it was like yellow sequin, kind of like tuxedo-y jacket.
I have a photo. I should try and pull it.
Okay, I'm glad you're right because
this photo. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It really does stand out to me as like a memory I have from like seeing shows at Rosedale.
Oh, I love that. I fucking love that.
So you were a star, and Clea. I'm glad you brought because Clea was also a star.
Aww. Yeah. Oh my God. Such a star. She was so funny.
I really, really do stan.
Oh my God.
I want to say that there's something about when you were mentioning like being a grade 9 and watching grade 12s do it and being like, that's an adult. Like there was, it reminded me of the time, like, you know, being in grade 11 or 10 and like the older kids that you became friends with, them coming back to visit from university. Like every time they'd come back and visit, I'd be like, and I'd say hi to them, and they'd be in their car. I felt so cool. I'd be like, I'm going to see my friend. They're in university. I'm just going to say hi in their car. Their car.
Yeah.
Hey. Absolutely. And then, like, I'd go and be, like, so annoying. Like, they were my friends, but it was, like, I was putting on. Now I realize those people were losers. Like, how are you coming back to your old high school five times? How are you coming back to your old high school five times? You don't have a job? You don't have something to do already? Like,
yeah, truly.
Yeah.
It's too many times. Oh, my God.
That is so funny. It's so true. Or like, I remember once I was like, it was like my peer tutor or whatever at Rosedale or something. She like graduated and then went to like McGill or something. And we were like messaging on Facebook one day and she was like, oh my God, you should like totally like come visit Montreal, like visit my dorm, like come hang. And like, I remember being like, that is like so cool. Like, I can't believe I'm being invited. And now looking back, I'm like, why are you inviting like some grade 10 like gay like over to your dorm? Like, go hang out in Montreal. Like,
yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't invite me. Exactly. Like, that's so lame.
But to bring things back to Amy Winehouse before we have to start wrapping up, I was just thinking about this. Amy was giving us like this like repurposed aesthetic and sound of like the golden age of music. Which is like that Motown kind of big band, you know? And that era of sampling that type of music was really big in the early 2000s to the point where I'm realizing now that, like, it was just everywhere. Big belts, that is very, like, 50s, 60s. Flats, mm-hmm. skinny jeans, 50s, 60s. Beehives.
Rockabilly.
Friggin', yeah, rockabilly. Yes, rockabilly. Snooki yeah. was rocking a beehive and wearing belts. Was she, you're telling me she wasn't giving us the golden age of glamour? You're
telling Snooki was giving us the golden age. She was giving us the golden age of glamour.
Like, all these things, and that just harkens back to, like, Amy's, like, insidiousness. Like, she really influenced so much of how I dressed and looked at that time. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Just, like, literally, the whole culture of, like, remember Bumpits?
Yes!
Like, Bumpets. It just, I, bring it back.
Remember that little thing where you take your hair, take your hair and you do it like this, and you'd have the pin, sorry, I haven't washed this hair in fucking a week.
Oh my God.
And you pin it.
Yes!
Oh my God. Bring that look back! I look so fucking good! Are you stupid? Okay. Bring it back!
Abba, you also literally, like, the moment you did that, I'm like, okay, Abba's, like, 15 years old.
Shut
up! Like, you could play... I'm like, you can play a freshman in high school.
No.
You could. Yeah. You literally could.
You need the plastic hoops that are, like, bright orange.
Bright yes.
When I wear my natural
white
hair...
polka dots.
What the... Jade.
With white polka dots. Oh my God, shut
from Claire's.
Shut up, from Claire's specifically. When I walk into the studio with my natural hair, people are like, now we see why you wear wigs. Like, no, not like that. Oh my God, I made it sound like they were making fun of my hair. No, like, it's like, I look like a child. I look incredibly young.
I was like, who are we going to fight?
In a poof, just because it's easier to manage that way. And I look like I'm 12.
Oh my God.
But I think there's a reason for that. And I've been thinking about this a lot.
I want to hear.
I think it all comes down to representation.
Yes.
Because when do we see black girls, black women, black femmes with natural hair represented in the media?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Their children.
Yes.
The only, like, characters that we see, like, even on, like, I think even on, like, the Cosby Show, like, Lil Raven with the bobbles and the twist.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the older, like, teenage daughter had, like, long straight hair.
Yes.
Like, it's, natural hair. It's almost juvenile. Like a thing, like, we associate mature black women and black femmes with tamed, like, assimilated hair.
Yeah.
So I think the only reason it's like, oh, I look like a kid is because that's the only time that we see black women with natural hair in, like, a poof.
Damn, you spitting. This nigga is spitting.
I think about this a lot. I think about this so much. Right. I'm like, we never see it. Like,
you're right.
I want to microdose and now so I could be as smart as Jade.
What?
I literally want to microdose to be as smart as you. Like, I'm like, you are galaxy brain.
Ben starts microdosing. He starts knowing things about black women and, like, black
men. I know. I love that. I'm like, this isn't microdosing. I'm just black.
Exactly. Yes,
absolutely.
But yeah, really I do, cool. like, think about things a lot. Yeah. Yeah, like, the other times that we see it, it's supposed to be, like, a sign of vulnerability.
Yeah.
Like, a black woman, like,
taking off her wig.
It's like, oh, this is, like, the end of her day.
Yeah. It's like, no, I just gotta take a shower. I can't get the wig wet.
Yeah.
Or I have to straighten it again. Like, get out of here. Like, like, I'm not looking in the mirror, like, I'm like, let's get a shower. Like,
you are beautiful.
What they say. I'm good with my little taco fucking meat edges, okay?
Like, I feel like that's very, like, through the white, non-black gaze. Like, I feel like they're like, we're obsessed with being, like, I don't know, like, seeing, like, Viola Davis, like, tearfully take off her wig. And it's like, no, this, like you're saying, like, she just, it's taking a shower. Like,
I almost corrected her.
Yeah.
I almost corrected
her. She's going to bed. Like,
I almost was like, Viola Desmond. And I was like, no. You racist? You mean Viola Desmond?
Imagine if I thought Viola Davis was Viola Desmond for all this time.
A lot of people do. A lot of people think Octavia Spencer is Viola Davis.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Did you see the article recently where they were like, Abdul Mateen is going to be in this new movie and it's fully a photo of Michael B. Jordan.
I'm not even surprised. They did that with Alfred Woodard and an older black comedian. It was really fucked.
Oh my God.
What is your favorite?
Oh my God!
I almost said American Idol. What is your favorite Amy Winehouse album?
Justin Rory. My favorite Amy Winehouse album. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, there's only, what, three?
Yeah, there's Frank, there's Back to Black, there's her live stuff, and that's it.
Yeah, and then there's, there. Well, there's also a record that she recorded with Tony Bennett. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you have to listen to it. Listen to it when you're, like, having a glass of red and, like, making yourself dinner.
That's what, like, she makes me feel like. She makes me feel grounded. This is, okay, yes. Another thing I wanted to mention. Before, I don't know, the thing about Amy Winehouse is that she always made me feel like that. Like, you listen to this music when you're grown and tired and you're drinking wine in your little shitty apartment. And I feel like Black femme people didn't really have that representation in the mainstream that was sexy and as, like, hip. As that, like, it's like if you wanted that, like, you had to listen to, like, what's her name? Like, oh my god, like Erykah Badu. And she's hip, she's cool, but like something that was like aesthetically Motown.
There was nothing tangible.
It was never tangible. Like, I don't want to look like a hotep, you know? So I didn't stan Erykah Badu like that. But now we have, like, I feel like you have artists like Georgia Smith and, like, what's her name? Yeah. Break
Kehlani,
me
off. Kehlani, Jesse Reyes. That,
yes, exactly.
Oh my god, that gets Ari, you, gets Lennox.
You, Ari Lennox. Exactly. You have women like that to be like, let me drink my wine and sit in my shitty apartment. Like, but Amy
Ari
was
Lennox
that.
Literally
for me.
Has a song called New Apartment.
Yes, and I love it. Yeah. And I love it.
God. Yeah, my favorite line is pop my wooha in sky. The sky because nobody's
no
here.
No one's here. That's me when I get my single bedroom, okay? Like, yeah. I love. But Jade, that. Before we wrap, let us know where we can find you and, like, do you have anything coming up that you want to plug?
Okay, you can find me on Instagram at Friendly Black Hottie. You can find me on TikTok at Friendly Black Hottie. You can find me on Twitter at HotJade86 and also Thick with 3 C's and Tired, which is my thirsty Instagram. Don't go there if you don't want to see me naked. Mm-hmm. Which is also my OnlyFans, Thick with 3 C's and Tired. Mm-hmm. Do I have anything coming up? Sapphic Sundays?
Yes.
Follow Sapphic Sundays on Instagram and Twitter. We are going to... I don't know when this episode is coming out, so I don't know if I should plug our next event.
Knowing... Probably in May.
It's okay.
Yeah, it'll probably come out
Taurus.
In May. Yeah.
Taurus.
Just follow Sapphic Sundays anyways if you want advice on stuff like that.
For sure.
And don't forget to follow Nostalgic Pod on Twitter. And Instagram, we retweet funny stuff, and sometimes we make fun of each other. It's real cute. please, please, please follow me at ABAQUAN on Instagram. Gosh. Or sorry, AB. What?
What?
ABAQUANN on Instagram. Only one N on Twitter. Fuck.
Oh my god. Fuck. You could follow me. What? That is so asking yourself
that was like
what?
The Ben, like, stop.
Yeah,
stop
very
it.
The same thing.
Yeah, who's hurting me?
Oh my god. I ask, it's actually shameful how much in quarantine I'll be like to myself, be like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
To me.
Are you kidding?
It's like,
yeah.
All the time.
It's
the time.
So sad. You can follow me at JK Miss Thing on Instagram, Ben Sosa Wright on Twitter and TikTok. I'm like, do I just delete my TikTok? No.
I'm gonna delete my TikTok. It's not working for me.
It's sometimes I love. Okay, I'm not gonna get into it.
Yeah.
Yes, and leave Nostalgique a rating and review. Truly, 5-star ratings help a lot. It's like it literally costs you nothing and costs you no time.
No time at
so
all.
So do it. And if you don't do it, Ab and I will know, and we will talk about you behind your back.
Mm-hmm.
What That's now? Not a threat. It's a promise.
Idiot.
Idiot.
Thanks.
Anyway, Jade, thanks for coming.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so you've been listening to ABBA.
And you've been listening to Ben. Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar!
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.